Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbite. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC.
Sure, easy for you.
Ragweed season. It is Saturday, the 23rd day of... My goodness, time flies.
He's rubbing off on you.
He is. That's a sad thing to think about. Anno Domini 2022, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. A secretive seller of cyber attack software. A secretive seller of cyber attack software.
You worked hard getting that alliteration together.
Thank you. Sells seashells by the seashore. Recently exploited a previously unknown Chrome vulnerability and two other zero days in campaigns that covertly infected journalists and other targets with sophisticated spyware. Now, there are people who are listening and say, well, I'm not a journalist. I don't have a problem. The problem is once these things are out in the wild, script kiddies use them to hit everybody. The vulnerability stems from memory corruption flaws in WebRTC, or Web Real-Time Communications, which is an open-source project that provides JavaScript programming interfaces to enable real-time voice, text, and video communications capabilities between web browsers and devices. So if you use Zoom, Mastermind Lounge, Snapchat, I don't care what it is, if it does audio and video, it's using WebRTC. Google patched the flaw on July 4th after researchers from Avast privately notified the company it was being exploited. Microsoft and Apple have since patched the same WebRTC flaw in their Edge and Safari browsers. Despite heavy encryption on the zero day, Avast managed to recover the attack code, which exploited a heap overflow in web. It's always heap overflows in WebRTC to execute malicious shell code inside a renderer process. The recovery allowed Avast to identify the vulnerability and report it to developers so it could be fixed. They were unable to obtain a separate zero-day exploit that was required so the first exploit could escape Chrome's security sandbox. That means the second zero-day will live to fight another day. Since both Google and Microsoft patched in early July, chances are good that most Chrome and Edge browsers are already protected. Apple, however, fixed the vulnerability on Wednesday, meaning Safari users should make sure their browsers are up to date. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is zero day infects Chrome, Edge, and Safari. Your choices are, I'm up to date, I think I'm up to date, I'll update immediately, wait, Safari? Seriously? Go in commando, baby, and others. So far, we have 21 votes. I'm up to date is number one, followed by other, and of course, if you said other, or if you just have more to say about this, head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 23 July 22, zero day infects Chrome, Edge, and Safari. We've already got a bunch of people discussing stuff in there. We've got 8 posts already. So you can certainly see what other people have said and add your own. But of course, you can always in the next 2 hours, give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. I should also point out that although I mentioned the big three, right, Chrome, Edge, and Safari, any web browser that uses either the Chromium code, like the Chrome browser does.
Everything but Safari.
Right. Or Safari-like, which uses WebKit,
yep,
is equally vulnerable because it doesn't have anything to do with the underlying engine. It has to do with that link to WebRTC.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have it so that all of them can do any sort of video chat.
Yeah,
thing.
They're cross-linked.
Right. So be aware that you may be vulnerable. And again, that's right, you're not a journalist. But again, these things go immediately to script kiddies who then write them in such a way that they'll hit anybody for anything. They're utterly indiscriminate. They make it a bot, and it goes after every IP address it can find.
Yeah, they just make it generic.
That's
make
exactly
it a generic,
right.
And like you say, then they're, all systems are fair game, and you know, if you want to take your chances, don't say that we didn't warn you.
So if you're using a Chromebook or you're using Chrome OS Flex, make sure, again, you're updated. Everything should be updated now, but make sure you've actually done the update. You know, it's easy enough. Every operating system has a check for updates. Excuse me. Apparently, I don't even remember reading that. Wow. Every operating system has a method to check for updates. Use it. If there are updates, you should install them. Except, of course, Windows people. Why? Because last night, after I had done the news, out came a report that the latest update from Windows, the patch Tuesday, is breaking printing again.
Oh. Print nightmare continues.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah. And by the way, when you're updating, don't forget your phones and your tablets and that stuff. So
all your devices.
All your devices. It's again, you know, I've said this before. You are your own system administrator, whether you like it or not. Used to be you'd come to people like me to do that stuff, and to people like Dave, bring your machine in to him or to Steve.
Yep.
But now it's on you pretty much, because it's got to have. It doesn't. You know, you can't just do it once a month or once every few months. You got to be vigilant, ever vigilant.
Well, you can, but then what?
Well, yes, you can.
You can, definitely, and then don't get ticked off when you got to take it to a repair shop for that, because it's all messed up and you don't know how to fix it because you didn't want to take the time to do it.
That's right.
We had a customer that a couple of months ago, her website had gotten breached and they uploaded a bunch of spyware to it, and so we got her all cleaned out and installed WordFence, which is a very popular WordPress security software. So this week, she started getting all these messages from WordFence and ignored them. And so when her website got shut down, then she brought the computer into us.
Yep, yep.
Half of the messages were, you need to update these plugins immediately. And then there were two messages, noticed a login from Cairo. Was this you? Noticed a login from Russia. Was this you?
Mm-hmm.
No. Fortunately, they didn't change your password yet.
Nice.
So we could log in, change your password to something brand new, and clean all the malware out again.
Right.
But don't ignore messages. I know the tough part is knowing a fake message from a real message.
Right.
Spelling errors are common. Grammatical errors are common in fake messages. Look who it's actually from. So we had one the other day that was supposed to be from Google. There's a problem in your Google account, and it came from Joe Schmo at xyz.com. That's not Google.
Right.
And if you are confused or not sure if it's real or fake, call somebody. You got to have a friend that knows a little more than you do. Call your support group. Take it into a reputable shop. They'll know if it's real or fake.
Yep. I had one the other day, and just for the heck of it, because it's an account I almost never use, I clicked.
Yep. Just to see.
Just to see, because I clicked, and then, you know, it says, oh, put in your username and password. Okay.
No, thanks.
So I did, and it took me to a place that obviously was not the place it told me I was going.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I then immediately changed the password on that account that I never use anyway.
Yeah.
So what? But I did it anyway. I changed it, and it's not my name. So, you know, if somebody got an email, it would not be from me.
Yep.
But even so, you know, I changed the password. And again, because I use NPass, it's now a 64-character password, so it's going to be a little harder.
You know, that's one thing that gets me on some of these sites, that, you know, you try to create nice long passwords, and they don't write the password. You know, certain programs, they restrict how many characters you can have.
Right.
Hello? Why the heck would you worry about opening that field up?
Why not? And I had that on another place. I
ticked me off.
Was using some software, and I thought, oh, I'll pay for this. And so they asked you to register. So I go to register, and it says, I'm sorry, your maximum is 40 characters.
Yeah.
Well, A, that's stupid.
But it's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but still. I like 64, by the way.
Yeah, 40 is not even a power of two.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And secondly, all they had to do was underneath that field say maximum 40 characters, and I would have been happier.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you idiot, we trapped you.
Just as an, you know, a warning, right, or, you know, a courtesy.
Right.
I won't even say a warning, just a courtesy. You can have up to 40 characters.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And then I know what to do.
Because then you can, within NPS, I love it, because you can sit there and throw in more, you know, letters and special characters and numbers. Yeah, all that stuff.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so it's pretty nice stuff. But and I did that, but it just annoyed me that I had to do it twice. Because they just were too lazy to say maximum 40 characters.
Well, I had one that didn't like me putting in hyphens.
Yeah.
It's like, huh?
I had one of those. For some reason, the random, and I try to watch this and pay attention because I know some sites don't like it. The random character, the random password it generated started with an asterisk. And I know that some places don't take that, but I just didn't pay attention. It took it. But then it wouldn't let me log back in again.
Yeah.
Yep. So I had to go through the whole, forgot my password, blah, blah, blah. In we go. Oh, yeah. Right, here
we go. Well, like I told you, what was it, 2 weeks ago? My, which, you know, with NPS, I've got everything under the sun, you know, in there. The one thing that I didn't put in there, because what? My Facebook account has to be, what, over 30 years old?
Yeah.
And I just never, and that got hacked. Yeah. And I tried to tell them, you know, hey, this isn't me. This is somebody else. I don't even live over there. They're shutting it down. Yeah. I had to create another account. And it's like, that's fine. I only go to a few groups. It's not like I use it a lot. So,
right. All right, let's head to
the butt.
Yep. Let's head to the phones. Our first caller is Brian from Gates, New York. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Well, I wanted to vote in the poll.
Good for you.
So I went, and I was going to your site, the Soundbite site, which I have bookmarked and all like that. But if I click on that and I get there, even if I type in soundbites.org into my address line, I get this crazy thing. My screen goes blue. It says loading with a little funny try. And then Chrome search contest 2022. You've made the 5 billionth search.
Yeah. There are a couple of people who've said that. I don't see that. It's not coming from the Soundbite site. I don't know quite what's going on.
I don't think it is, no.
It sounds like it's an intercept from some malware.
Yeah.
When it tries to do a search. Yeah, so there's a fake search installed somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. And I haven't clicked on anything, you know.
Good.
God, it shows up, I just throw it out. But I can't get to your site.
I do not know. It's got to be, and one of the people in the forum is having this problem. And I'm not seeing it on Linux. Steve's not seeing it on a Mac.
I just went to a private window. And I got a can't open page, TIELERANOT.top, and a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
TIELERANOT.top, and it's a campaign. So the other end of the malware has been removed. Check your DNS settings. Maybe somebody's spoofing your DNS.
Yeah, see, I just went through a private browser, and I got there fine.
Weird.
Hmm.
That's so weird.
Well, if you figure it out, send me an email.
Yeah, I go through a regular browser and I get it right, but I go through a private browser and I get can't open page. It's trying. Maybe there's a malicious ad on our website.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I'll do more checking. Yeah, absolutely, I'll do more checking. But
I'm sure you will. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going through Chrome, which is usually pretty secure. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I do not know, and I apologize to everyone. I will figure it out, but I cannot. No. I cannot at the moment tell you what's going on. Sorry.
Yeah, I just hear you. But I went to Security Triangle on that same page,
yeah,
the choice page, and I got the same thing, Chrome Search Contest, and I won a prize.
Congratulations.
It's a carny game, you know. You can show one more time and you'll win the Cupid doll.
No, I'm not seeing it at all. I will continue to check into it, but doggone it, I'm not seeing it, and I'll figure it out.
Well, tough thing for you. I'm not going to vote in the poll.
Try putting in the https://manually.
Okay. I got play with you now. Let's try that. I'll give it a try, and I'll let somebody know later.
That still doesn't do it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We'll figure it out. But I don't have it right now.
It's a gremlin.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good time, guys.
Yeah. You too.
It's almost acting like there's something in the DNS entry has been hijacked.
Right.
And it's sending you to the wrong place.
Right.
Who's our DNS provider?
Bluehost. Very weird. Very weird. And I apologize to everybody if anybody else is getting that. It sounds to me like a DNS cache problem, but I don't know what to do about it offhand because it isn't happening to me, so it's not universal. Very weird. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, I got several things and they keep adding up as I'm sitting here waiting. While waiting on the phone, there's a lot of static. Can barely hear the program as I wait. Two, I got a couple of NPass questions. NPass, I use NPass both on my Android phone and I have a portable on a USB. I have a full paid membership. Went for the maximum lifetime plan, and I have everything under the sun, and as David mentioned, I have Soundbites login on my NPass, and I got the same blue screen coming from NPass. I click on the link to soundbites.org, and then I'm going to put in my password. And I got that same blue screen that everybody was talking about. I clicked out of it, clicked back on another page of Firefox, and typed it in myself, and it went through like about the third time. So I was able to vote in the poll, but it took a few times.
Yeah, it sounds like the DNS cache has been hijacked, and the DNS has been somehow hijacked.
Which end is DNS?
RN.
Yours. Okay.
RN-ish.
It's in the middle.
Okay.
What happens is when you go to a website, you will say soundbites.org. Well, your computer doesn't know where soundbites.org is. It wants to know, it doesn't understand names. It only understands numbers. So it goes to a DNS server, domain name services, and says, okay, so where's this soundbites.org?
It's like the phone book of the internet.
Right.
Okay, redirected.
Right. And that says, oh, it's, 5087, 104, 103. And it sends you there. But if your DNS internal cache or your DNS server has been corrupted, then you will be sent somewhere else. The one thing you can do is try to go just as a test.
How do you flush your cache? Let me type that in there.
Yeah, Steve's looking that up while I'm trying this. Of course, I don't have the problem, so I don't know that that's going to be a thing that is a problem for me. But what I'm going to do is try going directly to the URL, to the numbers, the IP address of Soundbites, and my connection is not private. Well, okay, yes, I get that. But go there anyway. Thank you. Yeah, see, that takes me to ask Nick, because it's my system internally that then says, oh, you're going there. But it's not happening at my system, or it would be happening to everybody, and it is not. So it's clearly...
Maybe it's not our DNS. Maybe it's the DNS of the person trying to go there. Right. What? Who's your internet provider?
Mine is T-Mobile, Metro by T-Mobile.
So whatever DNS T-Mobile's using... That could be a common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I just flushed my cache. Let me see if it works now.
Like I said, it worked after about three tries. It finally came up. I voted in the poll and left a message in the comment section. But I do also have a NPass questioning with Chromebook combination.
Okay, go ahead.
Having used NPass for a while now, my Google account is enormously long password. And so if I'm at work and I'm working on the computer, I don't leave anything on the computer, but I need to check my email. I can do that. And I just plug in the stick and open up NPass. And get my password, copy and paste it, or however I do it. It's much simpler than typing 100 characters. So the problem then is if I go to my daughter's and she's got a Chromebook and I want to create my own account on the Chromebook, I have to use my Google account and put in my password.
Right.
Is there a shortcut than me, other than me manually typing, because I don't know if it recognizes the USB, or if I can open NPass in a window-like environment.
Yeah, your best bet is to do the thing that I do, which is to put NPass on your phone.
Right, that's what I've got. I've got them both. I've got both places. But to type all those characters.
Oh, you're talking about typing the password over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The only thing I can suggest is to put NPass on your daughter's machine and then open your NPass from a thumb drive.
Now, on the Apple TV, if you need to type a password on the Apple TV and you have an iPhone, since they're both Apple, you can use the iPhone keyboard,
right,
which then would let you paste from NPass.
Right.
Could you do that Android to Chromecast?
I've not seen it. Although, well, no. Hold on. No. Chromecast, but no, it wouldn't work. All right, listen, hold on. Stay on the line. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are trying to figure out...
We are confused.
And we are confused. We still have, I think, we still have Fred on the line. Fred,
yep,
are you there?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're looking it up. I'm also looking us up in blacklisted databases.
Spamhaus.org, I just see too, from another DNS checker. So for your trying to type your NPass password, what device on the TV are you using?
No, it's a Chromebook.
An actual Chromebook?
Yeah, just a Chromebook.
Because there are ways to do it with apps on devices. Because I do that, you know, like I said, with my Apple TV, I can use my phone to paste a password into my Apple TV.
What I'm seeing when you open the Chromebook is you've got to either log into account A or account B. Added my account to her Chromebook, but you can't do, I don't see where I can do anything at all until you log into one of those two.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of a Chromebook. You have to log into your account in order to do anything.
Right. So that's all good. That works just fine. But I was looking for an easier way to log in. If I'm at her place and let me see your Chromebook a minute. I don't want to go through her stuff or, you know, here, open your password and all that stuff. So created my own account, and then it comes to putting in my password, and I'm going, oh,
yep.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, as Nick said, installing NPass on her Chromebook
is doable, but have to then be still logged in. So
because it doesn't activate until after you're logged in, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's I need it for that one password to get into all the passwords.
Yeah, that's that. There is no way to do that, I'm afraid. It opens up a security risk that Google has shut down. So
sure.
You have to actually type in your password, unless you've got a Chromebook that does fingerprint stuff or something, but those are rare.
I just found something at NPass's website that they have a Chromebook connector that will let you fill in your login details.
Yeah, but I don't think it's for logging into the Chromebook. I think the Chromebook has to be running because it's a piece of software that runs on the Chromebook, right?
I can put the Chromebook. I could put the.
It's different than the regular NPass for filling in website passwords. I'm trying to read through this real quickly.
Yeah, I'm afraid that the thing you're asking, which is to use NPass before you log in, is not possible.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
A pitfall of Chromebook.
Sorry?
It's a pitfall of Chromebook. I thought Chromebook would...
That's a pitfall of any OS. You can't use any computer without logging into an account. And to log into the account, you need the password.
Right. So you've got a Mac or a PC or a Linux box and it asks you for a password, you have to type that in before you can activate any software.
Yeah, but the system's a desktop or whatever that's not going anywhere accessed by anybody doesn't need as secure a password.
I agree with you. Yes, that's true. That's true. You do, if it's your machine, it's in your home, et cetera, then that's all on you. But the fact is that a Chromebook is a portable device and goes around, and so the password. And I sympathize. My password is very long, but I have used one thing NPass has is the ability to use actual words instead of random characters.
Right, yeah.
So my password is a series of regular words. It's 64 characters long, but it's a series of regular words. So
that was one of the in one of the password breach summaries, they found that one of the a common password use is there is no fate but what we make.
Right.
Which is a quote from the second Terminator movie.
Right.
And first, too, I think. So at its surface, it looks like a good password because it's pretty long, but it's a famous quote. So it's in all the books.
It's a well-known one.
It's really bad.
Yeah. Right.
They should be obscured.
Horse stapler, monkey.
Whatever.
Black.
Battery, yeah.
Yeah. I'm afraid there's no way to get around actually logging into a Chromebook.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh. figured out something.
One thing you might do is on your own machine, change your Google password using NPass to a series of words, which NPass will do for you, or you can just type them in yourself, mm-hmm. and then that's something you would remember. Or you could learn at least, right?
Maybe.
Right.
Theoretically, yes.
You can also use a PIN instead of a password, but I think that's, just on the lock screen, not
on the lock screen. It only works on the lock screen.
Although Windows is really quick to point out that using a 4-digit PIN is just as secure as using a long password.
No, it isn't.
How'd they figure that one?
Because people kept forgetting their passwords and having to call Microsoft to ask for a password reset.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, while we were on break, I tried going back into soundbites.org, and it seems to be working fine. So,
okay, thanks. I'm not sure what to say at this point.
Might have been T-Mobile.
Well, or I don't know. But the point is, several people have said it's happening to them.
Yeah.
One person just said using Firefox, and I don't know if that means.
Firefox.
Oh, is that you?
So it's all browsers. So it's not a browser thing.
Right. So it's got to be in the DNS or something else. I'm looking. I'll figure something out. It might not be before the end of the show. It might be when I get home and can really dig in on the site itself, but I'll figure it out.
I'll be watching for any kind of emails or updates on the soundbites.org website.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I don't know what to say about this. I don't have an instant answer, I'm afraid.
When there's nothing apparently wrong, it makes it hard to fix.
That's the tough part, when it's intermittent or it's happening to someone in a remote location.
Okay, Mark, yeah.
It's hard to know. So it does look like some sort of DNS corruption, but whether it's happening on their machine or in between or on my website, I don't know. I just don't know. Do me a favor, Steve. Go to asknick.com.
All right, hold on.
Because that's running on the same server.
I got to spell it right.
Well, if you spell it right, can you get to it? That's the big question there.
In an open window, yes. In a private window, yes.
Yes. So it's very weird. All right, we'll figure it out.
Security Tango. Security Tango worked.
Okay. While he's doing that, let's head back to the phones. Our next caller is Art from Rochester, New York. What's up, Art?
Hey, Nick. I have a question concerning Linux and USB devices. However, if you haven't heard enough input on this website problem, may I add a little bit of information before I get to that question?
Sure.
So I run Pi-hole. And I've been seeing the problem intermittently. I see that I did a DNS lookup for soundbites.org. It was not cached. It was sent to Google DNS 8.8.8.8.
Right.
Right after that, the first questionable domain name was tylearnnot.top, which then redirected to a stringbandtrip.top. So I'm getting this info from Google. It comes and it goes. It kind of smells like a round robin thing to me.
So what you're saying is the problem is at Google.
I'm saying my DNS request was answered by Google.
Right. Right. And that's the one giving you this issue. Interesting.
Right. Now, unfortunately, Pi-hole does not show me what that resolved to. All I see that there was no data. Oh, wait, I take that back. There was no data. There's a column where it shows that it's, the reply was a CNAME or an IP address and came back no data. And then it went back to the .top domain. So something's going on. I don't know what. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks. Can you do me a favor? Can you throw all that in an email? Just do some cut and paste?
Sure, I'll do that after I get off the line here.
Thanks. Just send it to asknick@gmail.com. That's probably at this point the better one to send it to.
Okay, we'll do.
Thanks. Okay, so what's your Linux question?
So last week I heard you talking about you running the Unix program called Motion.
Yes.
I'm just curious. Have you ever tried that with two cameras?
Oh, nor have I.
You have not? I have.
Oh, you have?
Well, I have, and I haven't had success. It's not really a problem. The problem I'm seeing, I don't think, is with Motion itself. The instructions for Motion, the guy actually covers this issue where if you reboot, if you have two cameras, you know, they could come up, you know, in randomly. So if you're relying on showing camera one and camera two after reboot could become camera one. You know, follow?
I run into that problem with OBS. If I plug my cameras into a different port, it doesn't recognize them. But I have to change ports. But if I plug them into the same port every week, then it does recognize them. So I've got three cameras, and I got to remember to plug them into the same port each week.
Right. The other thing about Motion specifically is you can have multiple camera configurations. But you do have to have multiple camera configurations in order to use multiple cameras.
Right, and I set that up properly. So it's a functioning system. Just on reboot, camera one will be camera two, or camera two will be camera, you know, it'll flip. So that's leading me to the UDEV subsystem. Have you ever played with UDEV?
Yes, and one of the things you have to put into that config is which video device is which camera. So, for example, one of the lines in the config would be video device slash dev slash video zero or video one or video two.
Right. So I got that set up correctly. The problem is when you have two cameras plugged into the USB ports and you reboot, dev video zero on reboot has a good chance of coming up as dev video one.
Oh, interesting.
So you got what the problem is now?
So it's happening. Okay, that's interesting. And this is happening on your Linux device?
On a Raspberry Pi 3B+. So I've been making UDEV rules to try to force it and to a specific to make a symlink in slash dev.
Right.
And, you know, I'm banging my head against the wall. Everything I read says, well, you just do this, and then I dig deeper and it says, yeah, that doesn't kind of work that way. You gotta
well,
do
I
this.
Noticed, and, well, on my Raspberry Pis, I tried running like two hard drives, and it didn't like it. And that's an 8 gig Raspberry Pi. You know, it's a new one. And I say, it'll handle one SSD hard drive, no problem. But the minute I try to hook up a second hard drive to it off the USB and the USB 3s, nope, it chokes, it locks up, and I have to go down. And finally, this other Raspberry Pi 4 that I had, I wound up putting it in service because my other, you know, the 1.4 wouldn't handle two USB ports.
Interesting. I'm using one physical spinning hard drive and a couple of USB thumb drives, and it handles all of them fine.
Yeah, thumb
but that's
drives
different from video. So the question becomes, and I don't have an answer for you. I wish that's a number of them in a row that we've not had for it.
What I'm guessing, though, is, again, what they're trying to expect out of that small little box, it just can't handle, especially video. It's not like it's a super high-quality graphics card inside that little, bar of soap unit.
Well, I don't think the video card on your Pi is coming into play here. It's, you know, the video camera is going through the V4L, whatever they call it, video subsystem for Linux. So that's why I'm going towards UDEV to try to force it to a specific device.
No, I understand. I understand that.
So I must admit, I didn't expect you to have an answer off the top of your head, Nick. I just wanted to ask you if you ever tried it and if I'm crazy or not.
All right. So if you have a program called V4L2-CTL.
Yeah, I know that one pretty well.
Okay. And if you say list devices, --list devices, it should show you both cameras and which dev they're on.
Yeah, and I do that and I see that.
And then if you put both of those, each of those in its own config file for cam1.config and cam2.config, they still come up backwards sometimes?
Yes, sometimes they come up backwards, depending on the boot up process. Whichever camera happens to be a little quicker in responding when the USB bus comes up, it'll either be the first or the second device.
Well, I will certainly hold on. I'm gonna have to write that down because I just don't remember things anymore. I've had to write things down for 70 years. What do you mean anymore? Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to write that down because I'm going to play with it myself. I've got an extra camera.
And can I give you another tip? This one cracked my wig. You plug in a drive. It's Dev Zero or whatever it is. It's a single device, you know?
Yeah.
You plug in your video device, it's actually two devices. So if you plug in the first camera, it's Dev Video Zero and it's Dev Video One. In motion, you can't direct it to Dev Video One. You have to go to Dev Video Zero. Then when you plug in your second device, you still have the original device plugged in. If that happens to be 0 and 1, the new device becomes 2 and 3, and in motion, you reference it via device 2. So that I've never seen that before, and that really baffled me. So if you, when you run across that, you're prepared for it.
All right, I will be playing with that this week. Thank you.
Okay, good luck. And was that asknick@gmail.com?
Yes, asknick@gmail.com.
Okay, I'll work on some clean data for you and should see it maybe in an hour. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Steve.
Oh, yeah, I won't see it for several hours, but thank you.
Bye.
Interesting. What an interesting day today.
I did have a very brief redirect message. Join us at our new site before the fake site came up. And I got the error that it couldn't connect to the fake site.
So clearly somebody's hijacked something at Google then.
At some DNS. What DNS am I using right now? The school's DNS. Well, no, because it can't be just the school because other people are having it too.
Right.
DNS.
Interesting. While you're looking that up, we'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. What's up, Tom?
Hi, just a quick question. Over the past few months, I've been getting just inundated with spam. I use Greenlight, my ISP. I use Firefox. I used to go and I would block, all the suspicious senders. But I can't do that anymore. It seems like Yahoo limits the number of senders you block.
Yeah.
And it almost doesn't matter because they never use the same sender twice when they're sending spam.
Yeah, I know. I can see little variations. I looked at that site, I've Been Pawned. My email address was in there.
Right. The only thing you can do is change your email address.
Okay.
What email company are you using now?
Well, I have Greenlight.
No. Yahoo, Gmail.
When I click on, it's a Frontier email address.
Yeah.
Frontier uses Yahoo as their back-end mail server. Yahoo doesn't check for spam very well because Yahoo sends a lot of ads.
Yeah.
Okay. What else could I use?
I use Gmail, and it has been exceptional at blocking spam mail.
Yeah, I do have a Gmail account, too, but I'm in the process. I'm probably better off just eliminating this Frontier account.
Yeah, we say that it's harder than physically moving because there's only one post office system you got to give a new address to.
Yeah.
When you change your email address, you got to tell everyone, here's my new email address.
Exactly.
And then there's that magazine subscription that you do every 3 years that you won't get the renewal notice for.
Now, you can use Gmail to check your Yahoo account.
Right.
The problem is I don't know if it then sends it through the same spam
filter. All the spam will come in, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean how do I check the Yahoo account through Gmail?
Well, but what we're saying is I don't think that when you do that, I don't believe that Gmail does the spam checking. It assumes Yahoo's doing the spam checking.
But you go to gmail.com, and in your settings, there is a section to check mail from another account.
Okay. All right.
And you can certainly try that and see what happens. Can't hurt.
All righty. And you mean see if Gmail would block this spam
coming
to the Frontier address.
Right. We don't know that, but it's possible.
Okay. All right. That's my only options, right?
Yep. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Good luck.
Yeah, once your name gets put on some of those junk mail lists, it's impossible to get off. There, so technically, especially in California, there's the right to be forgotten. So you can contact the owner of that junk mail list and ask to be removed, and they legally have to.
Yep.
And then they'll add you to 100 more lists because they know you're a real person.
Well, that's exactly the problem.
That's the same thing on the unsubscribe links. The Can Spam Act a few years ago, every commercial email has to have an unsubscribe instruction at the bottom. The legitimate commercial email companies will unsubscribe you from the list, but the fake ones will add you to more lists because they know you read the message and clicked on the link. So never try to unsubscribe from junk email because it just adds you to more.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about a minute and a half out.
All right. So, we got about a minute and a half, so we can talk to Steve from Greece and at least get your question in. What's up, Steve?
Well, good afternoon. I just made a trip to Chicago by train, and a little background, I use track phone for my phone. New Verizon track phone does not have a tethering option. I need it to...
They have their own tethering boxes.
Right.
Okay. But is there an app I might be able to add? I couldn't find one that necessarily said it would work with track phone.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's part of the deal with the phone company that you're dealing with. Some of them simply will not allow, legally allow... tethering
on a phone. They sell a separate device,
right.
A Wi-Fi access
hotspot.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is basically a cell phone without a phone in it. It's just data.
Right.
And you can probably rent one for the time of your trip, but it's going to cost you.
Right. And I have one more question, and I know you're not going to be able to get to it. When I was on the train traveling, I'm using the train's Wi-Fi because I can't tether. And I could not use my Wi-Fi with my VPN, their Wi-Fi with my VPN. Their Wi-Fi worked fine. As soon as I turned on the VPN, nothing came through. Can you?
Yeah, hang on.
Yep, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, and we'll get to you after the break. We are going to take a break. That music tells us we are done with the first hour of this show. But do not despair. There's an entire... another hour of soundbite. I don't mean to make it sound long and slow. A whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites coming your way right here on Jazz 90.1. That's right. More Dave Enright, more Steve Ray, more Nick Francesco, more Steve from Greece, and more you. So take that quick bio break. Get yourself a beverage, either adult or non, as you choose. It's afternoon somewhere in the world. Whoa, wait, right here. And then we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites right here. Take that bio break, but don't go too far.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901JAZZ.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition edition of Sound Bites. Nick had to step out of the office.
That water cooler's a long way away.
Well, we're older. It takes us a little longer to get from point A to point B. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. We just deal with it. And what, we're coming up on 33 years here and now? Isn't it? This coming Labor Day? I mean, it's just a little over a month away. Not that far. I mean, we're already halfway through July.
It's 2 or 3 weeks of really nice weather. But now we're into the too hot stage.
No, my brother calls Rochester summer.
Yeah.
Just a couple of months of bad ice fishing.
Yeah. Yep, 33 years coming up on. We're at 32 years, 10 days, 10 months, and 20 days.
That we have completed so far.
That we have completed
so far.
We're
starting our 33. Boy, I was off. Well, COVID, I think, for everybody, messed everybody up as far as, you know, dates and this and that. And it's like, because like 2020, it's like a blur. You know, it's like, what did we do? It's been that long?
Well, one thing I read is that, so we had 2020 and then 2021, but now we're doing 2022.
Yeah.
No, it's 2022.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it's supposed to be. And we have finished our 32nd year. We're 32 years and 10 months. So we're in our 33rd year. Mm-hmm. In September, we'll have finished our 33rd year. And we started at 34th. What?
We started at zero.
No, we did not start at zero. Well, we did start at zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a math thing.
It's a math thing.
But still, in all, you know, yeah, we started our 34th year on Labor Day weekend, which is, what, about 6 weeks away?
Right. And, all right, so we're with Steve from Greece about the Wi-Fi and his VPN. And it is quite possible that the Wi-Fi server is blocking your VPN. So when you do Wi-Fi, you can set it up to do any one of a number of things. One of the things you can do is block VPNs.
They probably also would block mail servers. That's really common,
right,
for an internet provider because they don't want you to send mass mailings,
right,
using them.
So it is very possible that they have blocked that.
So, if I need to get to my master password and on Dashlane, I'm SOL.
Well, make sure you go to https://, type the S yourself, so then it encrypts it on your machine before it leaves your machine, and
right,
you're relatively safe.
A-P-P-T-S.
HTTPS for secure instead of HTTP when you're going to a website.
Right. You know how every URL starts with HTTP?
Yeah.
Well, you just make it HTTPS, and that makes it secure.
Okay.
That's when you see the little lock.
So I don't necessarily need my VPN as long as I do the HTTPS dot.
Right.
Right. It used to be that most websites on the internet were not secure, not encrypted,
right,
mostly because they didn't need to be.
Right.
And there's an overhead in the computers to encrypt and decrypt. But then the Snowden leaks showed us that our government spies on everybody, including us. And so most websites are now secure, and the government can't spy on them, and they're mad.
Easily.
Okay.
True.
So I just went to Dashlane, look it up. It is https://.
Right.
Right.
Most websites.
So that would be safe.
Yes.
Yeah. Most websites are forcing HTTPS now. So if you don't put the S in, it will often put it in for you.
Right. So the basic idea is when you use HTTPS, the data you send are encrypted on your machine to 128 or 256 bits or whatever encryption the HTTPS server at the other end is using.
Okay.
And then it is sent over the internet. So it's already encrypted when it leaves your machine. Now, some people prefer the added security of a VPN, mainly because they don't know that you're only encrypted between you and the VPN. It's decrypted at the VPN before it's sent on, So anybody at the VPN can read what you're doing.
Okay.
That's why you need to pick a VPN service that you trust.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the free ones probably aren't that.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust them.
The other thing is, of course, that if you go to an HTTPS site with a VPN, it's encrypted twice.
Okay.
So that's really just as secure as not using a VPN at all, frankly.
But then it's a little bit slower yet because it has to do that encryption twice.
Right. So the big thing is VPNs were very useful when most sites were not encrypted and pretty much anybody in the coffee shop could read your signal.
Okay.
Nowadays, if you're going to an HTTPS site, a VPN is not required, isn't necessary. Certainly doesn't hurt to use one, but it isn't necessary.
Okay.
So we're back to VPNs are mostly used by remote workers who need to log into their office server.
Right.
So you VPN, so your computer at home is now a virtual part of your company's network.
Right. What a VPN does is creates a tunnel between you and the other system and makes it part of the other system. So when you have a VPN direct to your company, you're now at your company, essentially.
Right.
But if you have a VPN to a VPN provider, all you're doing is going on their network.
Oh.
That's the only difference.
Okay. And like in Dashlane, I put in master password, and then all the passwords I get are encrypted coming back to me?
Yes. Any communication in either direction on a connection that's already HTTPS is encrypted.
Well, I feel much better.
And it's encrypted at your end before it's sent out, and it's encrypted at the other end before it's sent back to you.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
I wish I'd known that a week ago.
Well, but you know it now, and that's the important part.
Yes. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's years ago, and I've told this story before, years and years ago, I was teaching a security course at RIT. So I went into the, not the cafeteria, the student lounge area, and set up a program called Vomit on my computer. Voice over misconfigured internet telephones. And I just turned it on and let it run for a couple hours. Then I went back to my office and looked at all the, what it does is it pulls in all the packets and turns them into audio. So I had audio files on my computer. I was just going to show my students people making phone calls over their computers.
Yep.
Unfortunately, there wasn't a single one clean enough that I felt safe talking about it in a classroom with students.
Uh-oh.
There was a lot of noontime activity going on. So, at any rate,
they weren't having liquid lunches,
right? Well, no, maybe. Anyway, the idea here is that nowadays, of course, if you use people are using things like Zoom and all of those, and if you look at the URL at the top of your browser and it says HTTPS, or you see the little lock, then you know that you are good.
I was to say, the lock is probably the easiest thing to get in the habit of looking at.
The browsers now
hiding
the lock. It used to be green when it was locked and red when it was unlocked. So some of the browsers have now reversed that. They don't show the lock if you are locked. And they show red if it's not locked. Because
it's just asinine. Show the lock.
Yeah.
How difficult is that for a programmer to do?
Well, what I think it was, because Apple did the same thing on their 12-inch screens, taking those pixels out means you can put another couple of characters in.
Oh, win-win.
The scroll bar is off by default on the Apple 12-inch. Yeah. And you can turn it back on if you want, but now you lose 6 pixels of your window.
Yeah, but you know what? At some point, knowing you're secure is better than guessing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just that, you know, safe feeling, you know,
right.
Because they're out there constantly. That's their a lot of hackers. That's what they live for, is to be able to, even if they can just get five or six people. That's
right.
Five or six more people. Now they can hack in there, get email lists, and sell that information. That's how they're making their money. Back in the day, it used to be, oh yeah, they'd write viruses and it crippled, you know, the script kiddies were having all kinds of fun saying, oh yeah, well, I disrupted all these email, you know, people's computers and that. And so what'd they get out of it? Just that. Nothing, you know, other than destroying machines and information. Whereas the script kiddies got smart, created these scripts that they can gather information and now sell it.
That's exactly right.
Selling it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm making money. And all I had to do is write this one little script that just goes out there constantly looking for information.
That's right. It's easy to, and you don't even have to write it. You just have to find it. Somebody's already written it, and it's out there, and they'll just give it to you, or you'll sell it to you for a couple of bucks. And you know, if you can buy something for a few dollars, and then make even $10 yeah. from it, you've made money. So you win. So we're seeing that a lot, and that goes back to the thing we were talking about at the beginning. Right now, the exploits out there right now were designed to be used against journalists, but that means they're going to be used against everybody mm-hmm. eventually.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Pat from Batavia, New York. What's up, Pat?
Well, guys, I'm looking for some of the opinions or what you've heard about a product. I know you talk about Greenlight a lot, but a friend of mine got a call. Actually, it came up, I think it was door-to-door canvassing for Frontier fiber optic. You hear anything about their program?
They have the only thing we've heard is they have lots of fiber that's not turned on.
Right. I have not heard much about it. I'm sure that
what city is he in?
Rochester.
Okay, because Frontier does serve other cities where they have fiber internet more commonly.
Right. The plans I've seen started about $50 a month.
Yeah. Now, this is kind of strange for a company that works with computers. They put a survey up there so you can type in your address. So I put this person's address, which I won't repeat, and she said they're coming to install a fiber optic and a couple days from now. So I put it in just to test out their database there, and it comes back, no service. So I called Frontier, and I said, What's the story? I said, oh, yeah, well, you can type the address right in there. I said, is that up to date? She said, oh, yeah, certainly. So I said, I typed it in. It didn't work. I said, do you have any of your own database? She said, well, yeah, let me. So I gave her the address. She goes, yeah, it worked. Yeah, they have service there. I said, how come it doesn't work from your questions on the website? Oh, and then, of course, the standard, because I used to work in telephone business. Yeah. I do apologize for the inconvenience.
Yeah, that's really all they can say at that
Frontier
point.
Frontier fiber internet is primarily available in select areas of California, Texas, Indiana, and Florida. So I'm trying I put my address in and click the check availability, and nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens. No error, no lookup, just nothing.
Nice. Okay. So the other thing to look at is if you have multiple fiber, if you have multiple internet connectivity options to your home, whether it's fiber or cable, or I don't care what it is. The one thing to look at is the monthly cost versus the speed.
Right. They were offering 50 meg or 500 for $50.
Sort of like Greenlight.
Yeah, that's
right.
Pretty
so that's basically Greenlight. So if they're available and that, you know, okay. So the other thing is there's people who hate Frontier, there's people who hate Spectrum, people who hate, you know, you just, if you're not one of those people who really can't deal with a particular company, you know.
Bad past experiences.
Probably. Right. So if you don't have a problem with that, and you've been happy with your Frontier service up to this point, then, you know, there's no reason not to.
And I'd one thing I'd step in there and just say, is also look over the agreement.
I was just about to say, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, it could be a good deal, but see what you're also getting into bed with.
How long
as far as the contract is going to be for, and is this guaranteed locked price for a year?
Yeah, that's what she told me when I did talk to the lady, because I wanted to ask a few of my own questions. And
yeah.
Along the lines of what you guys are saying, and the woman said, yeah, it's good for a year. And I suppose that could change, but on the other hand, if you jack it up too much, people will start looking for other options. Although around Rochester, I don't know if there's that many.
Right, that's been the problem, is that there are no other options for most people. Yeah. It's your cable company or your phone company.
Right. Greenlight is working at it, but they need easements to get anywhere. And
now, does Frontier have the easements already?
Oh, yeah. They've had them for
decades.
100 years.
Okay.
100 years. Yeah. They used to have all the easements everywhere.
Well, that's why they're
now
also...
they're partnered with Spectrum so that they have easements everywhere.
And that's why you're also seeing around town... I don't know if you've noticed it, but just virtually any side of the city that you go to, they're putting in taller phone poles.
Right.
It's because of the requirements of fiber optics and that. They've got to have room and spacing on the poles.
And so more now, wires.
So now they're going through everywhere and replacing the shorter telephone poles with a lot taller ones and moving everything up.
Yep. And yeah, they did that in my backyard a while ago. And they already had a notice in their thing that said dogs. So they knocked on the door and said, "Can we use your backyard?" I said, "Yeah, it's all good."
Yeah, they did mine last year. The whole backyard they had to come through and redo the poles.
But if it's your only choice, it's not a Start with it's not a bad choice. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you don't have a problem with Frontier, then it's a decent choice.
They changed their logo.
They did.
It's
I don't know
F anymore. It's a swirly loopy thing.
Yeah, I do not know honestly what their uptime is. How good the service is at staying up. I'm sorry, I just don't know that.
Maybe one of your callers will or listeners will.
Yeah, if somebody's got Frontier's fiber.
Yeah, we'd like to hear for you.
We'd like to hear that. Now, and of course, there's multiple tiers. They have the $50 tier, which is up to 500 megabits symmetrical. So it's 500 up, 500 down. Don't get excited if you don't get 500. There's a million, you know, everybody's running speed tests all the time now. And I tend to run five or six in a row, and sometimes I get 950. Sometimes I get 450. Mm-hmm. One right after the other. It's clearly not my fiber. It's two different servers
traffic
at the other end. Right.
Traffic on the internet.
And traffic on the internet. So this is an average, not a right this second. It'll always be 500 megabits.
When you plug directly, not the Wi-Fi, right? The Wi-Fi is probably
That's the other thing. Wi-Fi will never be quite that fast.
And if you have an older Wi-Fi router, you're hampered even
there
more.
Too. Right.
Didn't you just, your Ask Nick column last week was what router to get?
Yep. Yep. And you can get them that only do 300, mm-hmm. only do 500, you know, so get one that matches your internet speed.
At least.
At least, right.
For a while, Frontier DSL, which ran over copper, which is limited to about six. So that's the irony. Frontier is six for like $50 a month. Spectrum is 200 for $75 a month. And Greenlight was 500 for $50 a month.
Right.
I'll
stick with my six from Frontier because I can't get the other ones. They would run two phone lines to your house and give you 12.
Right.
Or they'd run four phone lines to your house and give you 48.
Right, right.
So if they were advertising faster internet by running more phone lines to your house.
Right. Look, it's not going to be a bad choice. It may be a little more expensive than another choice, or maybe a little slower than another choice, depending on what's available in your neighborhood. But you know, depending on how you feel. And again, I'm going to get all these calls from people. I hate front door. Okay. And you may well be right. But when it's your choice, you make the choice.
Now, Greenlight, you have to buy your own router. Is that right?
Well, yeah. No. Well, yes. And yeah. that's true of most of them. The idea is they bring internet into your home, and then the router is something extra.
They give you a box.
Spectrum will provide you a router, but they charge you for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you pay for that.
You rent it, yeah.
Yeah,
Greenlight gives you a fiber box that has fiber on one end and Ethernet on the other. If you only have one computer, you plug it right into the Ethernet. If you want Wi-Fi or more than one computer, you got your own Wi-Fi router. Most of the services are like that. With Spectrum, you get a box that's coax on one side and Ethernet on the other. They will rent you a Wi-Fi router for up to $10 a month if you want Wi-Fi. A lot of people like buying their own local Wi-Fi router so that they don't have to pay rent on it.
Yeah, Frontier, the person I spoke with, said they provided the router. So now it will be a chance when I talk to...
Yeah, you have to ask them whether it's a WAN router, a LAN router, or a Wi-Fi router, because those are three different things.
Yeah, right. And what they're going to get charged for.
Right.
Yeah.
Provide and give are two different things.
Yeah, they don't just give those away for free.
So, you know, figure out what it costs per month and decide whether, you know, you or your friend wants to pay that forever or buy their own router and then replace it in X number of years. Right? Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to know that too.
Just one follow-up there. How long is like a router and modem good? Usually get a couple of new one every couple of years, or I mean, most people replace something when it doesn't
years.
Work anymore.
Yeah. 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
Most, yeah. There's a new standard come out every 18 to 24 months. So right now we're on Wi-Fi 6E because I started numbering them because nobody could remember my I'm on AX. Right now we're on AX.
Right.
And we're moving to the new one, but. The older routers still work. They're just a little slower. So the biggest advantages of the newer Wi-Fi system is faster speeds and better range, wider. Basically, it's a wider signal, so they have a better range. So yeah, every 3 to 5 years is usually a good idea. And so, but you have to know what you have, so you know you get a better one. So you can go to the store now and buy an N router for $20.
Right.
And that will be terrible. That's what Wi-Fi 4, I think.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah. So you want to get at least a 6, if not a 6E, if you're going to buy a new router now.
Here's the other. I've also got a web page about this, cutting cable, moving to fiber. It's at asknick.com/fiber.php.
Okay. I'll check that out.
That will tell you at least some of the things. I didn't get deep into the weeds, but I did get the overview on what you need to do and what you need to change and how to handle some of that stuff.
I got a failed to connect to MySQL error going to that page.
There's no MySQL on that page.
I'm getting an error saying that can't connect to it.
Okay.
Is that indicative of everything else we're running into today?
I don't know. I don't understand anything anymore. Okay. I just don't. But yeah, we'll figure all of this out. Apparently, Bluehost is having a conniption fit today, so we'll figure it all out.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate your help, and I'll be checking that out in a day or so.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So you couldn't get to the page at all?
No, I got to the page, and at the top it says, failed to connect to MySQL, 1045 access denied for user, ask Nick C at localhost using password yes.
Yeah, that's interesting because...
It's been hacked.
Well, no, it's I don't use...
So the error message is correct. It failed to connect to MySQL because there is no MySQL there.
There's no MySQL for that, so I'm not. I will figure that out, too. It's going to be a long afternoon for me, I think, at this point.
So you didn't know. So you changed nothing, and everything broke.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you don't fix anything, everything will work.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, so you can still get to the site is the important part. All right, so there's a little error message at the top.
My press this thing isn't working to post the links we're talking about either.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
We're going to take a quick break while I have a short breakdown, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright. He's two for two on that one.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, I am confused. And this is Soundbites. We're trying to figure out what seems to be weird about the Soundbites website. But you know what? This is not the time to figure that out. This is the time to go talk to Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to let you know that Steve said that Spectrum was 200. They're now three. They just advertised three now, and I just got it the other day.
I don't have it. We don't have it at work yet, so yeah. It could be residential versus business.
Yeah. Well, they are rolling out business, too, because my wife got it, and she's on Clinton Avenue, and she has it, too, now. So it is out. And in my neighborhood, it's 300. So they're rolling it out because they just started advertising it.
Yep.
300 for how much?
What am I paying?
That's 75 unbundled.
Yeah. Well, I got it with phone. I don't have the TV anymore.
They bundle it a little bit, lower the price a little if you bundle.
Yeah.
The other thing, according to Stop the Cap reporting, effective March 18th, so this already happened, Spectrum is raising their television broadcast surcharge fee. To $21 a month, so they raised it $3.
Wait,
so
that, who? What?
So Spectrum Television is for cable TV is raising their broadcast TV surcharge fee. So you're paying an extra $21 a month to Spectrum to watch broadcast channels on cable.
Yep, because that's where all these local channels are making their money now.
So take that $20 and buy an antenna, and then you don't need Spectrum anymore.
Yep, because I think these local channels are making more money on carriage deals than they are selling advertising time.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
By leaps and bounds. I got rid of cable. I got YouTube TV, and I love it.
Yeah, I did too, and I really like it. Except there's a couple of shows that my wife likes to watch on History Channel that aren't available because they have a contract with Spectrum.
Right.
We did find while we
well, so, Sling has History Channel,
but not all of the shows. You like the Knife Show, and she watches the.
I get the Knife Show.
The current season.
Yeah.
All right, because the other one that Shirley likes is Skinwalker Ranch, and they don't show the current season. They only show previous seasons.
Yeah, there's a few little caveats, but for the most part, I've been very happy. What I'm not happy with is, like, when I want to search for a day, and I have to scroll for eons.
One thing you can do that I found is if you go to the YouTube TV website, you can hide channels you don't watch.
Yes.
So I hit all the sports channels that I don't normally watch.
Or create a favorites.
And you can create a favorites list.
Yeah,
but you can only do that in the website. If you're using an app on your device, that doesn't let you do that.
You can use it on your phone too. You can hide the show if you're using it on your phone.
On the YouTube app on the phone.
Yeah, it works. That's what I do mine on. Because I hit a couple news stations. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
So, the picture is phenomenal. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and I'm not even paying extra for 4K. Well, because I only have an HDTV, but
I didn't do that because none of it's real 4K at this point. It's just upconverted.
Well,
paying them $20 to upconvert it. My TV upconverts it for me.
It might be 4,000 pixels across, but it's compressed to heck, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, exactly right.
Nothing the human eye is going to really notice.
I'd rather have my 4K TV take the 1080p signal and convert it to 4K, and not have to. Worry about the compression.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because they're actually less compressed than cable is.
Right.
Their picture is phenomenal. I can't tell you how great. I mean, I'm just so surprised at how good their broadcast signal is.
Well, it's, you know, you're talking about YouTube TV.
Yep.
Yeah, Google has had decades of video pushing experience with YouTube. And then with the Google Meet and all those other Duo and all that stuff. And so they inter swap all that technology from one system to another. So they're always trying to improve and improve and improve to give you the best picture.
It shows. It beats cable hands down for HD. For one thing, it's true 1080p.
Right.
Because they're able to take an eye signal and convert it, which converts very well, an interlaced signal, and when you get 720p, it converts that to 1080p too. So you're getting a much better signal than you are from a cable box.
Right, and you've also
the lowest bidder.
Yeah, and you've also got that again. Now that also means you've got to have a fairly decent internet speed.
Yeah, well, I had two and it was fine, and it's still fine at three, obviously.
Right.
But I don't get a lot of bottlenecking here, which I'm so happy about.
Right.
I don't know what other people are on, but I must not have a lot because I still get, when I do speed tests, when school gets out and all that stuff, I'm still running great speeds.
Good.
You know, I don't really slow down that much. You know, maybe I'll lose, I'll be test. I might, actually, I was over. I was at 328 this afternoon.
Nice.
So I can't complain about that part.
No, you can't. No, that's
but
good.
I don't want their TV anymore.
No, believe me, I get that.
I haven't had it in so long.
Their TV.
Yeah. No, I cut the cord, matter of fact, before green light came in the area. I kept their internet. But, I figured, heck with it. And I wound up going with Sling, and like you say, picked up a couple of those antennas that you just throw in the window.
Yep.
And they're white, and you don't even notice them. And all of the TV, the three different TVs in our house, I've got those antennas up on one of them, matter of fact, is up on an outside wall.
There you go.
And it gets 8, 10, 13, no problem.
Yep. A lot of things people don't know either that is you can go to the store and buy a $30 or $40 converter box, and you can connect a hard drive or a flash drive to it, and they will record.
Right.
They may only record one channel or two channels. You can watch one channel or record two channels and watch one of those channels. But you can record. It does. They do. Most of them have DVRs in them now.
Well, yeah, there's one from Silicon Dust that has four channels.
There you go.
And you can watch it. It's basically a server box on your network, so you can watch it on any computer or tablet.
And you're getting it over the air.
I was going to say, because Sling offers a free recording service.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You get, I think it's like 50 gig.
Well, that was one of the reasons I went with YouTube TV. It's unlimited recording, but only for 9 months.
Right.
And except for you, most people, nine months is not a problem.
I knew someone in the Insiders that she was saving all the tennis matches to watch, and then when she finally got around to watching it, that last year's tennis is gone.
Well, last year. If you don't watch it for 9 months, it goes away. If you don't watch it for 9 months, you probably don't really want to watch it.
The one thing that's a little annoying is that if you had like a movie you watched, you can't delete it now.
Right.
And it stays in your list forever. For 9 months.
Right.
I already watched this. I don't need to be reminded that I watched it.
I really want to be able to delete, and they haven't put that in yet. I do like the fact that they changed their guide to a more realistic-looking TV guide. It doesn't look like a YouTube page anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
But their DVR page setup needs to be tweaked. It's too YouTube. I mean, I know they're YouTube, but it's too that interface isn't conducive to a DVR type of thing.
Right, right.
But they supposedly are tweaking it slowly but surely.
Yeah, they keep saying they're doing stuff to it all the time. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I'm very tempted. It's $40 a month for a lot of service. So I'm tempted.
Sling was one of the first companies to do streaming type services. They had their Sling Box in the early days, and it let you watch your cable TV recorded channels when you're not at home. You're on a trip or you're at the hotel room, and so the Sling Box would broadcast it over the internet to your usually a computer, long before any of the services allowed you to do that. Even now, you know, Spectrum TV, you can watch limited Spectrum channels on the internet when you're not on your home Spectrum. Even if you're on someone else's Spectrum, you can. It's not. It's your Spectrum you have to be on.
Right.
But you can't watch your recorded DVR things.
Right.
Yep, but we can with YouTube.
You can with YouTube, yep. Yep. Although, yeah, it was funny, when we were traveling to Florida, and, you know, every night at the hotel, I'd log into YouTube TV. It says, oh, looks like you're in Maryland. Did you move permanently? No, I'm only here for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I go to my sister-in-law's in the Hudson Valley, and I signed in, you know, and then I get her ABC,
right.
NBC, CBS.
And that's...
I can access my recordings and everything.
That's content contracts. With local TV stations. So it has to know where you are to show you the local stations.
Right.
Which is fine by me. I don't care which ABC or NBC or CBS I'm watching. I just like the fact that I can watch it out of the house and not get, oh, we see you're not on your Wi-Fi. We'll let you watch it when you get back home.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm quite fascinated by YouTube TV, and I keep telling myself, if it had the History Channel, I'd be there
today.
The one
thing they did a few months ago that was what was interesting is there was a contract negotiated with one of the channels, and we lost a channel for 2 days. That gave me a $20 credit for losing one channel for 2 days.
Yeah, which is half your monthly bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just about. So that, wow.
Yes.
I can't think of any other company that would have done that.
No. Well, that's the thing. No, Sling is also tied in now with Peacock. So a lot of the stuff that you... may miss on Sling, you can go over and see Peacock for free and go through the scroll through their
whole that's list. Actually becoming a problem. So shows are leaving Netflix because they're NBC shows to go onto Peacock, or they're Disney shows to go on Disney. So Netflix and Hulu and the generic streaming services that were the only streaming of old TV shows for a while are losing those old TV shows because they're going back to the originating company who are making their own streaming services.
Right, right. Yep.
That's what happened with CBS and the show Evil.
Yep.
It's strictly on the... the Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I ran it with SEAL Team, with David Boreanaz. Halfway through season 5, they stopped broadcasting it, and it went to streaming only.
Right.
They can swear now, which a SEAL Team probably would, so it's
probably
a little more,
it's a little more realistic.
But so we had to get Paramount for all the Star Trek stuff. There are so many new Star Trek shows out.
They had a bundle, though, at the beginning of the year, because Sandy and I got into it, it was the Paramount Plus. Yep. Plus,
it was AMC for a while.
No, there was another service, Paramount Plus, and one other one.
Doesn't matter, whatever.
It was a bundle, but there was two of them now tied together.
Yep.
And, of course, because of Amazon, you know, we're Amazon Prime members, we also get the Amazon channel, so there's a lot of content there.
And Disney is now bundling with Hulu and ESPN. We don't watch ESPN, but the bundle is cheaper than buying them separately.
Right.
Yeah. And Disney did get part of Fox now, so I think they own the FX portion of Fox now.
And Amazon got the other half of Fox. So there's been new rumblings about no one knows if it's going to be a remake or a continuation of Stargate, because they got the MGM half that Fox owned.
Right.
So now Amazon owns Stargate, and all the fans are excited. Maybe this could be in a new show, because the producers of Stargate have basically said we'd do it, but we don't have the rights for it.
Right. So, there's all – I mean, that's just – I had a friend who is British, and he bought a Sling box, put it in his parents' house in England so he could watch his favorite shows here. But, so there's a lot of choices and there's a lot of capabilities out there. Unfortunately, nobody's got it all. You're going to end up spending a bucket load of cash in order to get everything.
And that becomes the problem now, is that you were cutting the cord to cut down on your cable TV bill, but there are so many different streaming services. You kind of have to separate it. You have your TV provider, and then you have your streaming services.
Yeah.
So, you subscribe to Spectrum TV, you still might want to get Paramount and Disney and Netflix.
Well, that's
or you subscribe to YouTube TV and get Paramount and Disney and Netflix.
Well, what you want to do is you want to make a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
That's what
exactly.
That's what I did.
You want to list all your all the apps that you want, and then you only get a couple for a few months, and
right.
you watch your shows, and then you get rid of it. You get a couple more.
It's real easy to cancel one and start up another
because there's no fees to cancel.
Yeah,
it gets a little complicated, but you'll end up spending less by getting them in pieces and binging things.
That was one of the jokes. Disney had a huge subscriber loss when Mandalorian first season finished, and the reason people were canceling was Mandalorian's done. So then when second season come out, all right, we'll subscribe again.
Right.
So now it's up to the streaming services to keep coming out with more and more shows. So Paramount has done that. Discovery just ended. So now I think it's Lower Decks is starting again. And then we'll get Strange New Worlds, and then we'll get Picard, and then we'll get Prodigy. And so they have all these Star Trek shows that just are running in cycle. They're doing 10 episode seasons of 10 shows.
Yep.
And there's a couple of years in a row. And that's only that one genre. If there are other shows you like on that network, they're trying to keep you on that streaming service because they don't want you to cancel. Here's another cool new show you should watch instead of canceling us, please.
Oh, right. Yeah, they put that hook in. They want to keep you there.
Yep.
That's for sure. But, who doesn't, right? You just got to weigh all your options out and get what you can.
You got to do your homework.
Yep.
And this I said from day one when I was cutting the cord. I sat there and literally, it took me a year, but I wound up, like you said, made a list, a spreadsheet of mm-hmm. all the programs that I liked. And then I went to the various services to see which one fit my needs as far as my favorite programs and, you know, what whether it was AMC or, you know, the History Channel or Discovery and this and that, you know, AMC. And I went down the list and, you know, I wound up settling on Sling, and it's got an add-on package too, which just bundled everything that I like.
There's a website called suppose.tv where you put in the channels you watch, and it will find the best packages for you. And you can do that every couple of months because the package bundles change.
Yeah,
right. That's great. I like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's cool, yeah. Well, guys, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for hearing me out.
Thank you.
Okay, Nick, have a good one.
Have fun.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, Netflix is also adding an extra home fee.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
$3 a month if you want to share your password.
Right.
Share your password.
Right. So if you have...
Wasn't it because of kids at dorms? They were passing their passwords all over the dorm.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, 9, 10 kids are now having this one kid's account.
Yep.
And Netflix is saying, a number of services did the same thing and said, yeah, no. It can only be family members.
Right.
Well, and that brings up then the next, my daughter doesn't live with me.
Well, that's just what that extra home fee is for.
And someone pointed out that that's only for people who feel bad about going 56 miles an hour.
Right.
So the people that feel bad are going to pay the $3. The people that are literally stealing the password won't.
Right. Right.
In fact, that was a meme going around for a while, is that you break up and you can see your ex's watch list. And you change the password at the penultimate episode, so they can't finish the season.
Ooh,
that's
mean.
Cruel.
Yeah. That's mean.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check out suppose.com, I think.
Suppose.tv.
Suppose.tv.
I'm trying to post it, but that's been having an issue too.
What I may end up doing, and this is something I suppose I should tell everybody. If this ends up being some sort of serious issue, I may be taking the whole website down and redoing everything. So we'll lose a lot. But
hey,
if it happens, it happens.
Ship happens.
It does. Sometimes it happens. Whereas Didactylos, the philosopher of Discworld, once said, stuff just happens. What the hell?
Yeah.
Well, that's like, you know, when my Facebook account, I've had that for, like I say, decades. All the, you know, I had over 1,000 people. And they just choose that they're watching out for my security, even though I told them that, you know, hey, it's not me. I've been hacked. Well, we're still just continuing your account. So it's like I'm guilty before I even proved innocent.
Yeah, here's the issue. They don't care.
Yeah. So you know what? I didn't either. I created another account that I just sit there and go into the groups I want. I don't use Facebook that much anyways. And well, I've been without it about 3 weeks now with my without my main account. And
haven't missed it.
No, I haven't. Because there's just a lot of bullshit on it, and I don't miss it. So I just keep it for, you know, the various groups that I'm interested in, and I like it.
Right.
You know, I linked into them, and I'm cool with that, and it just, it's a lot calmer. Because you see these other folks posting stuff, and it's like, you know, get your head out of the south side of your back.
Yep, yep. There's a whole movement now, support groups for people who are so anxious about the news and social media and everything else. It's causing serious anxiety issues for people.
I believe it.
And so there's a whole bunch of stuff about that. Anyway, the thing is, any one of these things you want to do, whether it's change your fiber, change your internet connectivity, change your streaming services or add or change or whatever your streaming services. They take research. There's no one answer.
Do your homework.
Right. As we've been saying, do your homework. Create that spreadsheet for, you know, 6 months. List everything you watch.
Yeah, you got
to. Better off to do it for a year because honestly, there's stuff that only comes up once a year.
Yeah, because now, you know, it's not like the old days. The season used to start, say, in September and it'd go through until the fall, you know, Christmas time, take a short break. Then they come back in January, February, and then go until June. And then you had your summer break. No, they don't do that anymore. They go for, say, you know, for the fall. And then they've got a winter block, and then a summer, a spring block, and then it's all four seasons.
Right.
And you know, that's why you got to, if you want to really check it out good, is watch it for a whole year.
Right.
Because there's going to be a program or two that you're not going to, you know, oh, shoot, I forgot about that one. And it's, sorry, not in this block of programs.
Right. And think about all the extra channels. Write down what channels you actually watch.
Yeah.
You know, you can be paying and for 150 channels.
Don't write down channel 10.
Right,
on the
right.
Network. 8, 10, yeah. 13, or 31, or 20.
Yeah, don't write down the numbers.
Write down WHEC, WROC.
Or CBS, NBC, Fox, right. FXX.
Right. Because those are the things that you'll want to be looking for on the other services. They're not going to care about channel X. They're going to care about the service, or they're going to care about, more importantly, the full network, the national network. So you can make those lists, and then from there you go through all the various services and find out which one meets what you want. So. You know, you pay attention to those things, and that's where you get your best bang for the buck. You know, you'll find the services that do it for you, and your mix will be different from my mix, from Steve's mix, from Dave's mix, from anybody else's mix. But, if you take the time to pay attention to what it is you watch, and you know, you can make multiple lists, the gotta haves, the wanna haves, the this would be nice. And the, you know, and the first thing you do is find that all the meat are on a different service, so ignore them.
Yep.
Anyway, that music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to thank everybody who called in, and we will do something to fix this mess. I'm Nick Francesco. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites right here in the truly great and truly grateful to you that with your generous support, we continue to be one of the very, very, very few and dwindling jazz radio stations in the known universe. And that's Jazz 90.1 FM. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another.